For decades in Pike County, Kentucky, coal was more than an industry. It was a way of life, powering homes, paychecks, and a deep sense of identity. But as the economy shifts, residents are also grappling with growing political divisions within their community. Judy Woodruff reports from Pike County in the latest installment of her series, America at a Crossroads.
In the hills of eastern Kentucky, fall colors streak across the Appalachian Mountains, a reminder of the area's beauty and resilience. But over the past four decades, the population has fallen sharply, down by nearly a third, following the collapse of the region's main industry. Traces of the old coal economy are still visible in a region once hailed as America's energy capital. Those who've left to find jobs elsewhere face a stigma.
If you venture outside of here, as you know, someone from Appalachia, immediately feel defense and shame. Like, I'm from a lesser part of the country. I'm from, you know, I'm a dumb hillbilly, and that's what everybody thinks.
What do you say to them, people you know, about this part of the country, about Pikeville?
I say, come with me, you know, get to know people outside your bubble. It's not that hard.
Sociologist and author Arlie Hochschild has spent more than 7 years getting to know the people here in Pike County, Kentucky, the state's largest and most eastern county.
I often heard, oh, we kept the lights on. We won World War I. We won World War II. We provided the electricity and energy that helped build the weapons we needed to win that war. And now we're forgotten. That is the basic feeling here. Who knows we're here? Who's going to help us?
A far-right rally here in 2017 sparked her interest, which grew into her latest book, Stolen Pride, Loss, Shame, and the Rise of the Right. It seeks to understand how a once overwhelmingly Democratic region became overwhelmingly Republican as the economy changed.
What's happened, I think, is the whole sector of American society has experienced this scary slide downward and has felt, wait a minute, the other sector is going up and we're going down. And they've turned to both parties, Democratic Party, Republican Party, and haven't found answers.
My great-grandfather.
I met up with some of the people Hochschild profiled, including Republican businessman Roger Ford. His family has lived here for generations.
The National Democratic Party's policies are way off center. The issues that they seem to want to focus on cater more to urban areas.
Many liberals like James Browning now feel outnumbered and silenced in a county that President Trump carried with 82% of the vote last November.
Reds are saying all the right things, I think. They're not in touch with reality, in my opinion, much less the working class.
The political divisions here, like in the rest of the country, are now more visible, according to Robert Music, a religious studies instructor at the University of Pikeville.
It's beginning to really start dividing some places that were traditionally neutral grounds.
Music also pastors an Episcopalian church and preaches at other churches in the community.
People are just now kind of a little bit hesitant, or maybe they're not having the same type of dialogues that they used to have because they're just so afraid of hitting a button that people are going to be, you know, too hot and bothered about.
After Hochschild's book was published, some of her subjects connected and wanted to meet in person.
What we need to do is actively depolarize ourselves. It won't happen automatically. We need to build the bridges.
They named the get-together Holler Log, a nod to the valleys they call home, combined with a spirit of dialogue. It was held in the Coal Run Community Center and Firehouse, and Music helped coordinate the all-day event.
What I hope we can do today is truly be honest without fear of judgment or fear of someone stepping out of the room.
After introductions, participants shared some of the thinking behind their views and spoke about the immediate struggles they faced.
It wasn't getting better with blue, and it's not getting better with red.
Tommy Radcliffe describes himself as a liberal-leaning independent.
Tax time comes around and you don't know, well, I can pay my taxes early and get a discount and sacrifice some Christmas presents. You know, that's where it's at. And the flood comes, you know, things like that.
This area has been hit by increasingly frequent and severe weather events, including flooding earlier this year. And government regulations are slowing down local mitigation efforts, charges conservative Roger Ford.
They're creating the disaster by not letting us fix these creeks and streams that are filled up.
What's going to work here in Eastern Kentucky in the head of this holler or in this county is not going to work like up in the Northeast. It's not going to work. We have different viewpoints, different people.
As the day went on and participants got to know each other, they tackled more difficult subjects, including the impact of President Trump's spending bill passed this summer.
Kids not being able to eat three meals a day, granny not being able to go to her dialysis.
I have a hard time coming to the fact that everyone's going to be kicked off and then everyone has to reapply and then get, like, work requirements is all that I've read that would affect Medicaid.
And in this county that's overwhelmingly white, the issue of race came up toward the end of the day.
If I drive 15 to 20 minutes in any direction outside of the city of Pikeville is when I begin to see Confederate flags on flagpoles and in people's bedroom windows.
Do you think just because that Confederate flag is there, do you think that makes them racist?
Yes.
Do you? Okay.
I don't
necessarily subscribe to that.
But throughout the seven-hour day, Trump was not a central topic.
We haven't mentioned President Trump very much. We haven't talked about him at all.
I think we've been talking about President Trump all day.
I think it's worn out. I think you've beat it to death.
As it came to a close, they celebrated with bluegrass music and dinner and agreed it wouldn't be their last meeting.
People really agree that actually a lot of these cuts to services that have happened will hurt this area. We've also agreed that getting some federal funds in to diversify this economy, get solar panels on those sawed-off mountains, that would be a good thing in this area. And we mainly agree we ought to get to know each other's cultures respectfully and stop stereotyping each other.
Is this the kind of thing that you think is easy to replicate in other places, or is it unique because of your book?
I won't say easy to replicate, but yes, it's completely replicable, but with a few rules about listening and about taking your alarm system off and really actively listening and looking for what you actually do agree on.
And for some, there were surprises.
I expected when I started out yesterday morning, you know, these base values and things that people, all humans are concerned with. And I had it in my head that was the only things I would find commonality with these guys. I was wrong.
I think as long as you're talking, that beats the alternative. Solutions, I think, at this point, are not found in the halls of Congress. I think the solutions are people outside of that coming together and saying, okay, how much are we really in disagreement with each other?
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Judy Woodruff in Pikeville, Kentucky.